I guess this will be part two, called to be sanctified. The text scripture was coming from 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 2, where it says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." So as we said, this is part two to the lesson on called to be saints. Now the word sanctified means to be set apart for the service of Jesus Christ and to also be free from sin. As we said on last week, as you see also in your bulletin, the former life must be different from the sanctified life. A person should be able to see a difference in themselves, as well as those that are around them should also see a difference in their lives. As the scripture says in Leviticus chapter number 10:10, that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and also difference between unclean and clean. Jesus' desire for us is to be sanctified. Now, on last week, we left off around about in 2 Timothy 2:19 through 21, stating what should we do with this calling? What should we do with this calling? And one of the points that was highlighted there is that we should purge ourselves from all of the ungodly things, of these unclean things. We should purge ourselves from these things, because the scripture says that everyone that nameth the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. In other words, get rid of the stuff that's not like Jesus. And you see that little picture there in your bulletin. You see where it says you do not follow the crowds of sinners to hell, but it says pull yourself from among them and be separate. Pull yourself from among them. Now they may be pulling on you, but you got to fight hard to pull yourself from among them. That's what the writer says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate." Not Elder Scudder said it, it says, "Saith the Lord." This is the Lord's desire for his people, to be separate from the world. Now it says we are sanctified through or by Jesus. And we should be concerned with these three questions that are asked. It says, how do I submit my will to Jesus? Do I know what Jesus would have me to do? Am I being obedient to Jesus? Now, these are all three questions that a person should be concerned with when they're talking about being sanctified. When you're talking about being sanctified. Now, go over, go through the other scriptures from last week, the list that was there. But let's look at a couple of them. Look at Acts chapter number 26 and 18. Someone else get Galatians 5:22 through 26. And someone else get 1 Timothy chapter number 4:3-5. We said there should be some changes that should be seen, not just by myself, but also by others. All right? The first one was what? Acts chapter number 26 and 18. Mm-hmm. What does it say there?
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith.
Right. So I am where I am because of my faith in who? In Jesus. You see that? Your inheritance is among them which are what? Sanctified by faith. We are sanctified by faith in Jesus. So once we have become sanctified, the scripture says that we shouldn't no longer continue to walk in darkness, but now we should come out of darkness and be a blessing to those that are still there. According to verse number 18, you should be a blessing to those that are still walking in darkness. How can I be a blessing to them? Verse number 18 says, to open up their eyes. to open up their eyes, and to not just open up their eyes, but to turn them from what? Darkness to light. Not to participate in the darkness, but my objective is to turn them from darkness to the what? To the light. That's my objective. My objective is to work with the sinner, encourage the sinner, live a life before the sinner, with the intent of turning them from what? Darkness to light. Not just from darkness to light. I want them to come from up under the power of Satan. That's where I was. That's where we all were. When you come into holiness, when you come into the knowledge of truth, Satan is his hold, his grip is being released off of you. You know, when whether you have the Holy Ghost or not, even if you're tarrying for the Holy Ghost, you think about the life that you lived before and what you would do in times of trouble, in times of stress, when things didn't go the way you wanted them to go. And you realize when you look back at that former life, the devil was trying to kill you. He wasn't trying to help you get through it. He was trying to kill you through it. You know, if you were drunk, you drank a lot of liquor, when you had bad news, you tried to drink that bad news out of your mind. You tried to have an escape. You said, well, I'm going to just get so drunk that I just become numb, and I don't have to worry about it or think about it. But you think about what the drinking was doing to you. It wasn't solving the problem. It wasn't removing that hurt from your life. All it was doing was trying to kill you in the process. But you looking out at the new life. You say, this new walk. The Lord called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. This new walk, Jesus says, just use my name. My name is your salvation. Scripture says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is my salvation. When we say salvation, we're talking about being delivered. His name is my soundness of my mind. His name is what heals me. His name is my escape. It allows me to sit in a high place to come above all of the mess that is there. That's what the name of Jesus does for me. Now, when you were in sin, you didn't know the value of the name. You didn't think on the value of the name. But now you come in the holiness. The Lord says, use my name. In other words, don't use the liquor bottle no more. Don't use the cigarettes. Don't use the drugs. Don't use the violence. Use my name. My name is the key to it all. Now, the Lord's name, it just doesn't comfort you through it all, but it delivers you. His name actually brings you out of it. So, in other words, where you would be before, you would be in a pit of sorrow, a pit of despair. You know, you would have to take medication sometimes to deal with these issues. But now the Lord says his name now has become your strong tower. It has become what you lean and depend on. It is the foundation on which you build your house. And the scripture says that when you look at that there in Acts chapter number, what we at, 26 and 18, you're looking back at people that lived like you, that were sealed up under that same spirit that you were up under. But the Lord freed you from that. Lord opened up your eyes. That's the truth. And he would say, well, it's kind of, what about those? But I'm not saved yet. The Lord still opened up your eyes. You see something different than what you saw before. You didn't know nothing about the value of the name of Jesus before. He gave you an understanding of the importance of the name. Even if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you just gone down in the water in the name. Before that, you did not go down in the water in his name. You say, well, I was baptized before. How were you baptized? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Well, why'd you do it that way? Because that's what they said. But did you actually pay attention to what the preacher was saying out of his mouth? No, I ain't give it much thought. When you come over into holiness, holiness makes you sit down and think about it. Holiness don't just tell you just to do it, just be doing it. Holiness says, stop and think about what is being done. When the scripture specifically says, well, I heard that scripture over the first time that I was baptized. Well, what did that scripture say? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. That's what that scripture says, in the name. Well, the first preacher that said that to me, he didn't make me stop and think about that. Well, you need to think about it. The scripture's telling you, you need to be baptized in the name. In the name of the Father. That means the Father has a name. Father is not the name. It says, in the name of the Father. Well, what is the name of the Father? The name of the Father is Jesus. Jesus says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. You ain't got to go to Son, Holy Ghost. You already got the name of the Father. Baptism's got to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what sanctifies you. That's what pulls you out from the crowd of everyone else that has just gone down in the water but never said the name. You said the name of Jesus Christ. You have identified who you belong to, right? That's the truth. Meaning your eyes have been opened. So when you talk about baptism and you come around someone else that talks about baptism, you say, well, I went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. They say, oh, I was baptized too. And they say, yeah, we both together was baptized. And you say, well, how were you baptized? Because all baptism is not valid. How were you baptized? Oh, it don't make a difference. Yes, it does. It makes a difference who you are identified with. Just like Satan claimed ownership over your life from birth, Jesus says, I want to buy you back. I want to pull you from up under the power of Satan. That's what the scripture says. Well, thank the Lord. The Lord gave us the mind to listen to the message in his name. Why? Because his name pulled us out from up under the power of Satan to Jesus' power, right? That's right. You thank the Lord for being sanctified. I thank Jesus for being sanctified. Because you could be walking around thinking you all right. That you're on your way back with Jesus and you haven't identified yourself with Jesus. So many people talking about they want to go to heaven but haven't identified themselves with Jesus. You haven't identified yourself with the God of heaven. How are you going to spend eternity in heaven with someone you haven't identified with? You thank the Lord, I identified with the God that is in heaven. When I went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, I identified myself with the God of heaven and earth. Therefore, I belong to him. As the Lord says, he's reminding me, this is what Paul was trying to get across to the saints that were at Corinth. You're not your own. You have been called out. You've been called to be a saint. And you didn't become a saint on your own. You became a saint because you had faith in Jesus, right? That's the truth. That's why you're sanctified, because you had faith in Jesus. You were looking for Jesus to do something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. I couldn't free myself from sin. Sin's hold was just too tight on me. Sin's grasp, its effect, its habit was just too strong in my life. The only one that could free me from that was Jesus. I give all of the credit to Jesus. I don't want the Lord to think he was helping me or he was assisting me. He wasn't helping me or assisting me. I got delivered because of Jesus. It was 100% Jesus. It wasn't 99% Jesus and 1% me. It was 100% Jesus. Jesus' power brought me from up under the power of Satan to the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus' power opened up my eyes. It let me see life different. That's the truth. That's why you over here in holiness, because you see life different. You see life different than the way you used to see it. You should. You say, I'm still looking at the light. Well, you ain't really sanctified. You haven't sanctified yourself. The Lord told you to come out from among them and be ye separate, right? Sanctify yourself, right? Set yourself apart to be used by Jesus. Set yourself apart to give Jesus the glory and the honor that is due his name. That's the truth, saints. His name is what freed me. Freed me from the pains of sin. From the shackles of sin. Well, one writer, if you look at this scripture there next, is trying to give you a contrast. That's why I told you in the beginning of the lesson, there should be a difference between the former life and the sanctified life. In the former life, you should be able to say, Elder Scudder, my eyes were shut. I just couldn't see. I was blind. Blinded by what? By sin. Everything sin showed me, I felt I had to do it. That's the truth. That's when you know, when your mind is blind, you don't see no further than what's in front of you. And to thank the Lord freed you from that. Lord took them shackles off of your eyes. Just like he did Saul. He loosed them shackles from off of Saul's eyes. Well, Brother Ananias prayed for Saul. I believe they had a good old tarrying service. It wasn't Ananias that did it, but it was the name of Jesus. I believe Ananias told Saul, call on the name of Jesus. Call on his name until he allows you to see, till he opens up your eyes. I believe when Saul got to calling on the name of Jesus, them shackles fell off. The writer said the scales fell off of his eyes. It's just like you and I, when we were on our knees tarrying for the Holy Ghost, the devil did not want you to see Jesus in your mind, but yet the saints kept telling you, call on his name, call on his name, see him in your mind. Let your mind be focused on Jesus. One day in your tarrying, the scales will fall off of your eyes and you will see Jesus for yourself, right? You'll see Jesus for yourself. You'll see him. You'll see him and you'll talk to him. That devil don't want you to talk to Jesus. He don't want you to be on your knees and talk intimately with Jesus. He wants you to be caring about everything else. He wants you to be focused on everything else. That lets you know that the scales have a hold on you. And you're not through. You say, well, Elder Scudder, I'm in the church, but you're not through. Elder Scudder, I done went down in the water in the name. You're not through. You need the Lord to release those scales from off of your eyes, from off of your mind, so that you can freely, intimately talk to Jesus. What the scripture say? Cast all of your cares on him. The greatest care that you have when you come into this world is, Lord, I'm born in a state of a condition of sin, and I can't get out of it by myself, right? I need you to free me from my sin, right? That's the truth. I need you to release me from this yoke of bondage. Huh? This enslavement. Huh? This attitude that I got to do this. Come on, the world is infected by people with that attitude. They just got to do it. They got that I cannot help it. Why? Because they have not been free. The only one that can free you is Jesus. Jesus makes the scales fall off of the eyes, right? Makes those scales fall off of the mind so that you can freely see Jesus. Don't you want to see Jesus? I want to see Jesus. I don't want to see him in the rapture. I want to see him right now. I don't want to wait till the rapture to see Jesus. I want to see him right now. The rapture should be just a continuation of the life that I live right here. The rapture should just continue the life that I'm living right here. If I got joy now, I'll have joy when Jesus comes, right? Huh? You waiting for the rapture? You should be getting it right now. Your soul should be excited about Jesus right now. The rapture should just continue it. That's the truth. You get glad. I'm looking at mother now. Mother's struggling with her body right now. You know, the body is just fighting against her. But it should not affect her joy. It should not affect the inner peace. See, all the rapture should do is release her from that body. The joy should continue. You should be excited about Jesus right now. Therefore, when you get out that body, you just say, hey, I ain't got nothing to hold me back now. I can freely praise him, right? That's the truth. It's just a continuation. It's not going to be a new experience. The only thing new about it is you're going to be out of this body and be in a glorified body. But the joy is the same. The love is the same. The excitement is the same, right? My hallelujah is not going to be different. My thank you, Jesus, is not going to
to be different. Why? Because it's coming from my heart. It's already coming from the core of who I am. My soul is already shouting hallelujah, right? And we try to get you to get it down in your soul. Let your soul cry out, Jesus. Let your soul cry out, thank you, Jesus, right? Don't let it come from your lips, but let it come from way down in your soul. Let your soul talk to the Lord. How do I tell you? I was listening to a message the other day, and I was listening and said, well, you know, sometimes we be watching the seekers. I be looking at you. I be watching, but you shouldn't be concerned about me watching you. I just want to see the passion. I just want to see how serious you are about Jesus. What does Jesus mean to you? I know what I'm trying to get you. I'm just trying to see. I know what he mean to me. I already know what the Lord mean to me. But now I'm looking to see, what does the Lord mean to you? Is Jesus important to you? Do you value Jesus? You got that attitude, Lord, I can't do nothing without you. Lord, in you I live, I move, and I have my being. You are the length of my days, Lord Jesus. Yes, you're the reason why I exist. Lord, you woke me up this morning. Allow me to see a brand new day. Is that on your mind? Or are you just saying it? Lord, woke me up this morning. No, do you really mean it? The Lord Jesus, in his infinite love, because he loved me so much, he woke me up this morning. Well, let me see what a brand new day. What kind of day? A day of salvation. He worried about the sun shining and the wind blow. He let you see a day of salvation, right? A day to be delivered. A day to get closer to him. A day to clearly see him. Thank the Lord he opened up my eyes. I thank the Lord for opening up my eyes. Because my eyes were shut. I couldn't see this. I couldn't see this way of holiness. I tried to do it, but I just couldn't see it. But the Lord opened up my eyes. He didn't just open up my eyes. He brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. He made Satan release his hands from me. That devil had a grip on my life, but Jesus said, loose him. Loose him. Let him be free, right? That's true. Not only did the Lord free me, the Lord also brought me into a place to let me know my sins are forgiven. You mess around, you hang around your family and your friends. They'll hold that stuff over your head. They'll hold all of your shortcomings right over your head. But when you come over in the holiness, saints don't even ask you about your life. I don't ask you about your former life. You just get to telling me. But I don't ask you about it. I don't say, sister such and such, how did you shake your hips in the club? Give me an example of what you look like. Show me how you got down. You don't hear me say that in holiness? No. We don't even concentrate on that form of life. We tell you now, present your body as a living sacrifice for Jesus. I tell you with your hands, clap your hands to the Lord, right? I tell you to cover it up. You come in here, your skirt too short, the mothers will get to you. Say, don't show all of that. All of that is for your husband. It's not for other folk. Other folk don't need to see all of that. It's for your husband. When you come in here and use your body to glorify Jesus, it's not about you, but it's about Jesus, right? Tell the brothers, don't wear it too tight. Don't show all of that. Well, it's because I got muscles. I want people not. Don't show it all. Show it to your wife. Your wife is the only one that need to see that you cut like that. But when you come in here now, you need to glorify Jesus. Let your body be used as an instrument to praise the Lord Jesus, right? See, we don't talk about the former life. You bring it up, but I don't mean it. No, I don't do that. We don't have a session. When we come in and talk about all your issues that you had before you got saved, we tell you, come on, let's put our mind on Jesus. Where are you at today? But you don't understand how the scud I went through all this. But did you go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ? Yeah, I went down in the water. Don't you know the Lord washed away all of your sins? He said you come up walking in the newness of life, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you.
East is from the West. I forgive your sins. I will remember them no more, right? That means the only one need to remember them is you. I need to remember them so I won't go back into it. I don't want that devil to cause a trick into my mind and make me look like something the Lord brought me out of. Remember, you need to make a clear distinction between the former life and the sanctified life, right? That's the truth. That's why I say sometimes your family, they say, oh, no, 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 you should put this on. No, 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 you don't know this. You don't know nothing about this life. You can't dress me, not in this life. You could dress me in the life that was, but you can't dress me not in this life. What you mean? I know what look good now. You know what look good in the eyes of the world. But you don't know what looked good in the eyes of Jesus. And now I'm living trying to please Jesus. I'm trying to put a smile on Jesus' face. I'm trying to put a smile on your face. I'm trying to put a smile on the face of Jesus. I want the Lord, when he look at me, to say, there goes my child. I brought them out of darkness and they're walking. They're walking in the marvelous night, right? They're living this life. Oh, yeah. When we come under holiness, we come over here to live this life. Not just talking, but to actually live it, right? Live a life free from malice. Live a life free from jealousy and envy and hatred and strife and division. Lord, say, love your brother. Love them. When they despitefully use them, love them. When you see they're bitter and their face is turned to the wall, love them. Love them. Love hides a multitude of sin, right? Love hides a multitude of sin. People do you wrong. That's the best time to get with just you and them. And I mean, just give them a good warm embrace. Say, Lord Jesus, help me how to love them the way you taught your disciples. How did the Lord love? The Lord looked at Judas in his face, and he knew Judas was going to betray him. The Lord took that brother and still washed his feet. That's love, isn't it? Lord, teach me how to love like that, right? Not with hypocrisy. Not with hypocrisy. Not with what I can get out of it. Not so that other people can say, oh yeah, you did a good job. Not for that. We did what we did on Friday because we love our sister. Period. That's it. That's what is period. Sister Scudder would tell you when we were trying to figure out what to put. I said, honey, wait, we could do more. Let's do more. She said, well, baby, you know, we can't really do but this. This is really stretching when we do. But we were doing it because we love. I'm trying to tell you the extent of the love that we have. You want to make sure everybody is comfortable and peaceful, right? I don't want nobody to be arguing ahead. I don't want. We ain't got time for that foolishness. We did that when we was in the world, right? Lord said, I brought you out from the power of Satan. I brought you out from the power of Satan to the power of Jesus. And Lord is teaching me how to do what? How to love. I ain't coming in here with the attitude like I already know how to do this. Nah, I need the Lord to do what teach me. Because all that stuff I thought I knew how to do, I need the Lord to reprogram my mind. That's the truth, saint. You say, I already knew how to. No, you ain't know nothing. You didn't know no kind of love till the Lord showed you how to love, right? All you knew was lust. How do you know that, Elder Scudder? Because the Lord said it. All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, right? The lust of the eye and the pride of life, right? That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. But when you come in here now, the Lord teaches you how to love. I was listening to the love just oozing on out. I don't know who put the program together, but we were laughing because when she got, sister got down there to her and her father, and then sister said, it wasn't even in there. She said, his stepfather. I said, love. Love will make you do stuff like that. Love will get past all of those that try to throw you to the side. Say, you ain't no good. You ain't nothing. Love will make them say, oh, no. That's my husband. And his stepfather. I said, my mother, look at love just working. Even in the midst of all of it, that's real love, saints. That's real love. What more can you ask for? What more could you ask for?
Huh? The world would love to just throw you to the side.
Yeah.
Say, you don't mean nothing. You are nothing. You ain't did nothing. You will never be. But love say, no, 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 no. Lord said, I love, that's my child.
Yes.
Huh? I don't care what you say about him, that's my child. Huh? Bring up all of that past, and Lord says, I have forgiven them.
Yes.
And that was, Acts chapter number 26 and 18 says, that they may receive the forgiveness, of sins, right? Now, who do I belong with? I don't belong with the Scudders. No, 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 no. I don't belong with the Hymans. Well, those are my names attached to me. Scudder, Hyman. I don't belong with them anymore. The Lord did what he called me out. He said, now your inheritance. Come on. I'm not worried about what a Scudder's going to leave me. Or what a Hyman is going to leave me when they die. My inheritance now is among those that are what? Sanctified. In other words, my future. Inheritance is what you get in the future. My future is with those that are what? Sanctified. I just want to be caught up in the rapture. That's all I'm... You tell my elder Scudder what your life is... My life insurance policy is Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the one I'm looking for at death. I ain't looking for money. I'm just looking to go back with Jesus when he comes. Now you can be a fool talking about I'm trying to get this amount. When this one dies, you're going to perish right with that money. But you need to have your hope in Jesus. Why? Because one day you're going to get up out of this body. And you're going to stand before your maker. And you're going to have to give an account for the things you've done in this body, right? Whether it's good or bad, right? I want the Lord to see me as one that has been washed in his blood. Not washed in the water of Aruba. I don't want that. That ain't going to be no good. You go wash in the water of Aruba, you come home for a couple of weeks, you'll forget what that water felt like. Forget what that water felt like. You won't even remember. You say, oh yeah, well, Aruba. Let me look at some pictures so I can remember. Nah, you need something more deeper than that. The Lord done told you, you drink from this water, you're going to thirst again. But you drink of that water that I give you, it'll be in you forever. That's why you need to just sit with Jesus, right? If this year ain't taught us nothing, is that you really cannot depend on your loved ones. These people that are blood attached to you. It done taught you that. And not any fault of their own, but they're limited. They can only go before so far. One day they're going to have to die. That's true. I was telling my wife the other day, I'm trying to get all the loving I can get right now. Why? Because one day I'm going to die. One day death is going to separate us. And if I'm left or if she left, the last thing we need to be doing is, I wish I would. Nah, you better get it all while you can. I'm going to get all the kisses and the hugs that I can get while I can. Why? Because one day death's going to separate us. You ain't learned that lesson this year? Death creeps up. Death is a creeper. It creeps up and it just does what? It snatches you. It don't even give you no time to prepare yourself. It just snatches you out the earth, right? Lord, let me be ready. That's why you need the Lord to open up your eyes. You couldn't see nothing like this in the world. You'd be living in this world, you'd be thinking, that won't happen to me. I feel sorry for them, but that ain't going to happen to me. Yes, it will. You ain't no different than that rich fool. What that rich fool built up bonds, said, we sold, I done laid up stuff for you for years. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, right? The Lord said he came to him that night. He didn't even wait for the sun to come up. The Lord came to him that night and called him what? A fool. Say, this day your soul should be required of you. And then he said, whose will these things be? All this stuff you done saved up for, whose will these things be? Who will they belong to then? You spent all of your money trying to acquire all this stuff. But then when you're dead and gone, who will that stuff belong to then?
Right.
You can't even empty out your own pockets.
No. Right.
You know how these people put stuff
stuff in their pockets to try to hide it. Now, don't be digging up in my pocket. But when you're dead and gone, that's it. They're going to get to digging all they want to dig. And ain't nothing you can do about it, right?
Amen.
Yes.
That's why you thank the Lord. That's why we tell you to be saved. I mean, get you a good saved person to love on.
Right.
Because you know they ain't saved. They stop breathing. You might see something you might not want to see.
Right.
Might go in their wallet and see some form of love.
Amen.
So old pictures say, what they doing with that picture in their wallet? They trying to let you know I was loving on somebody else. You wasn't the only one. And you can't be shocked because they had no Jesus. God knows if they had Jesus, Jesus would have convicted them. Couldn't been walking around with that in your pocket. Sitting up on the message like that, your feet be burning. He said, Elder Scudder's looking in my pocket. Elder Scudder ain't looking at nothing. Something is not right in my pocket. Why? Because Jesus sees you got something you shouldn't have, right? Jesus sees a little darkness that's creeping into you, right? The Lord said, I called you what? Out of it. Out of the what? The darkness. Lord, don't even talk about the phones. You can't even, can't nobody get in my phone without my fingerprint. Well, you dead now. They gladly take your finger and press it right on up in there. See all of your business, right? Everything you're trying to hide, they'll see it. Well, they don't see my bank account. They unlock it right with your phone. Transfer. Transfer. Every dime you got. But thank the Lord now you are around the sanctified, right? Thank the Lord. See why the Lord told you come out from that mess? And stick with the what? The sanctified. Saints don't do one another like that. Ananias and Sapphira tried to live like that, and the Holy Ghost dropped them dead. They tried to live a double life, and the Holy Ghost did what? He dropped them dead, right? See, that's why you can't fool around with Jesus, because Jesus will do what? He'll drop you dead right where you stand at, all right? All right. Now, the continuation of this lesson, I want to talk about this fella, Moloch. Moloch. In the book of Leviticus, chapter number 20, 1 through 27. Why is sanctification so important? Because Jesus is bringing you from out among people that serve gods that are abominations to him. And now, in Leviticus chapter number 20, 1 through 27, not going to read that all, but if you just to paraphrase it, that's what we have in that that bullet there. Moloch was described as an abomination to the children of the Amorites. If you go over, someone go 1 Kings 11 and 7. And then someone get Leviticus 18 and 21. Why is this sanctification so important? Jesus is bringing me out of people that are worshiping gods that have no power.
Right. 1 Kings 11 and 7.
Yes.
Then did Solomon build a high place for Shamoth.
So that's sad, isn't it?
Yes.
Solomon should have been building something for Jesus. But what did he do? He built a high place. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
The abomination of Moab.
Uh-huh.
The hill that is before Jerusalem.
Yes.
And for Moab, the abomination of the children of Ammon.
Isn't that sad? Mm-hmm. That's not a good thing. This God didn't bring Israel out of bondage. This God didn't bring Israel out of bondage. Remember, Solomon was a Jew. And the Jews were in Egypt. And the Jews were in Egypt over 400 years in slavery. But the God of Israel brought them out. Remember, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, that brought you out. What should I tell him is your name? I am that I am. Huh? He didn't say no Moloch. He did not say that. He said, I am that I am. You shall not serve other gods. That's in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Go, well, someone go over to Deuteronomy 6 really quick. Hold your finger there in Kings, wherever you at. Chapter number 6 and verse number 4. 6, 4, and 5.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one.
Is one, right?
And thou shalt love,
thou shalt do what? Love him with what?
All thine heart.
Now here Solomon. Solomon just threw this scripture on to the side. He wasn't even paying attention to this scripture. Now he's erecting, what does it say there?
A high place.
A high place.
Uh-huh. And That's on 1 Kings 11:7.
Mm-hmm.
The high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Molech.
That's right. That's
the
right.
Field that is before Jerusalem.
That's right.
And for Molech, the abomination of Jerusalem.
See what this fella's doing? He done pushed Jesus to the side and walked with the world. We don't want to be like this, do we, saints? We don't want to push Jesus to the side and walk with the world. Look at verse number 8 there.
Verse 8 says, and likewise did he for all his strange wives.
Come on. These ones, look what he did. Look at what he did, saints. He didn't have one. He had, that wives got an S on the end of it. Huh? He had more than one. You think polygamy is a new thing? These folk been doing this a long, sex ain't new. Folk been having sex since the days of Adam. That flesh has been out of control since the days of Adam. That's the truth. And then this Solomon said he didn't hold anything back from his eyes. Somebody had vineyards, he went and built more vineyards. He said, concubines are women that are not your wives.
Right.
He said, I had concubines on top of concubines.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I didn't have just one wife, I had wives.
Right.
But then when you look at the sum of his life, he said, all of it is vanity. And all of it make me sick. All that shaky. All that running from bed to bed. It will never make you happy. It won't make you satisfied.
No.
That's why I tell folk all the time. People think, well, if I get a lot of money, Solomon had all the money. Solomon had more money than Bill Gates, the guy that's over Amazon. He had more money than all of them combined. I'm trying to tell you, Solomon had enough wives to fill up a neighborhood. He could go for months and sleep in a different bed with a different woman. Now, I didn't say weeks. I said months. He had concubines and wives. Talking about, he had more property than his eyes could see. But then when he looked at it all, at the sum of his whole life, he said all of it is vanity. In other words, it made him sick. Why? Because he realized trying to get all this stuff, it never made him happy. He said, when I die, my name is not going to be remembered, just like a poor man when he died. What's the difference between the both of us? We both stop breathing and we drop dead, right? And our stuff is left to someone else. I would rather die poor. Well, at least if I didn't have nothing, those after me should have nothing too, right? But if I worked hard for it, now imagine this. Work hard for all of this stuff and then leave it to somebody that don't care. Then if the Lord would let me, he ain't going to let you, but if he did let you, look back from eternity to see what you'd be sitting there fussing. Don't you sell my good pots! You know how much I paid for that stuff? They be looking, they say, now you done paid $300. This is a pot. I ain't got the five. Take it, $5. You got rid of my $300 pots for $5.
Right.
I ain't even got five. I only got a dollar on me. I don't want them things. Just take them. Got this big old china cabinet. Yeah, big old china cabinet. And above the china cabinet, I made me a little secret compartment. I didn't tell nobody about it. But in there, I stacked hundreds, just stacked them. I mean, family in there, this big old furniture. Get this thing on out the house. Take it to the Goodwill. Don't nobody even know that money in there.
Right.
Take it to the Goodwill. Someone going to Goodwill. Oh, this thing is too big to sell. You think you want it? Yeah, I'll take it. Take it. I'm using it for some firewood.
Yep.
Busting it all up. Boom, 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 boom. What is this box? Boom. All this money is in here. Hey! See what the Lord have done for me.
Yeah.
Family struggling to pay bills and they don't even realize. They done gave the bill money away.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
So, That's why Solomon said all of it is vanity.
Right.
It's vexation. It makes me sick.
Yeah.
So they left Jesus to serve this Moloch. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. And you look at that bullet set. It says, what does Moloch want? Somebody go to Leviticus 18 and 21. I got to let y'all go.
Fire to
Moloch. Uh-huh.
Neither shall thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord.
Yes. So what did Moloch want? Moloch wanted them kids.
Right.
Huh? And we already knew, we read in our Bible class in the book of Leviticus. What did the book of Leviticus tell you? Don't give your sons and your daughters to them.
Right.
Did y'all forget that? That's in Deuteronomy chapter number 7.
Right.
Deuteronomy chapter number 7, he said, do not allow your sons and your daughters to marry them.
Right.
Why? Because they will turn them away from serving me to serving a strange God.
Right.
And the Lord said, when they serve those other gods, it will kindle my anger.
Right.
And I will do what? Destroy it. I'm not going to do, I don't want to set my children up for destruction.
Right.
You know when your son or your daughter comes and brings before you strange flesh,
yeah.
And they say, what you think about them? Be honest.
Right.
Look at them in the face. Are they in the church? Do they have Jesus? And you know if yours ain't even in the church themselves, don't look for them to bring somebody
right.
to you to sit out of the church. So, but that's your opportunity for you right then and there.
Right.
Are they in the church? Are they saved and sanctified? Nah, they ain't saved. They ain't got time for no church. I'm telling you flat-footed, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
You ain't got to bite your tongue. Tell them. You're setting yourself up for failure. Oh, but they say they love me. They don't know love.
Right.
If they don't know Jesus, they don't know love.
Right.
Is that scripture?
Yes.
Scripture say God is love, right?
Yes.
If you don't know Jesus, you don't know love, right?
Yes.
But you don't know how I feel. I do know how you feel. It's called lust. Lust is a bunch of feeling, right? But it has no substance to it, right? You can't build nothing on no lust. Lust is air. That's all lust is. It's air. You can't build anything off of it. There's no future in lust. Lust is a momentary feeling. And it only lasts but for what? A moment. Huh? But then after it's done, what will you do then? What will you do after it's done? Walk off.
Right.
You go your way, I'm going to go my way.
Right.
That's what you want your home to be built on?
No.
For you know you'll be sleeping in one room, they'll be sleeping in another.
Right.
Don't you come in my room, not when you come in my room.
Oh.
Y'all supposed to be married.
That's right.
Not when you come. This is my space. Don't you come in here. Whoa.
Right.
Y'all roommates. You got your half of the bill money this month? Roommates. 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 We need a new such and such. Well, where's your half? Well, y'all thought you got a bonus. I did get a bonus, but where's your half? Roommates. You, I'm trying to tell you guys, you don't want nothing like that. That's a mess if you ask me. Your back is up against the wall. You can't look for a roommate to bail you out. But if you got a good husband and a good wife, they'll bail you out. They're hurt. Your hurt is their hurt. That's a good husband and a good wife. Your hurt is their hurt. But when you got a roommate, you stuck. I done paid my half. I ain't giving you no more. And they got it to give it, but they tell me, I ain't giving you no more. But the lights don't get cut off. Well, they get cut off, then I gave you my half. Don't look for me to get them back on. Well, can we go get some assistance? I guess you got to go stand in the line for assistance, because I ain't standing with you. I gave you my head. That's a roommate for you. Now that's mess, isn't it? You know, you all, how'd you get in this situation? Because he loves me. Lust. Lust. That's what it was. Lust. You looking for the world to give you something it can't give you. Because all that's in the world is the lust. Right? Come on. Now, did y'all read the rest of that in Malachi? I just want y'all to see that. I want y'all to see that in Leviticus. So we see that the Lord says in Deuteronomy, "Do not allow your sons and your daughters to marry them, because they'll turn them away from serving me to serving those other gods, and then you're going to kindle my anger." And the Lord said, "I will destroy you." Right. So when you look at Leviticus chapter number 21 through 27, we're going to see the attributes of Moloch. What does Moloch want? Moloch wants me to live with him. He wants me to give my children to him. He wants me to defile my body and my name.
Right.
Moloch is sneaky. He wants me to be sneaky with him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants me to have sex with him.
Mm-hmm.
He calls up his spirits
right. And
communicate with them. Huh? Y'all know people like that, don't you?
Yeah.
What my signs say today?
Jesus.
Huh? They can't even start the day off right. What my signs say today? They read the sign. Ooh, that's just how I feel. Your sign say he going to walk in front of you and he going to be what you looking for. That's what my signs say today. In other words, they're communicating with spirits. Is that what the scripture says? They're calling up spirits to communicate with them. Moloch is also not ashamed to curse the mother and the father. Moloch has no respect. Forget talking about honor your father and your mother. Moloch says, tell them how you feel. Your mother ain't no good, tell her. Mom, I asked you, good. Yesterday, would you come over here and watch my kids? And you told me you had something to do. I don't need your so-and-so and so-and-so to come over my house no more. Huh? That's what Moloch say. Moloch say, tell them. Tell them. Tell them, and don't you bite your tongue. Tell them just how you feel. Curse your mother. Curse your father, right? That's Moloch's ways. Moloch says, have sex with anybody, have sex with anything, and look for nakedness. Now you... I'm looking at, when I look around this earth, I see a whole lot of Moloch worshipers. I don't see nobody serving the Lord. I see a whole lot of Moloch worshipers, though. That's dangerous, isn't it? Now, you all can really, like, say, where you get all this from? If you read Leviticus chapter number 21 through 27, just for the sake of time, I didn't go through it all, but if you read Leviticus chapter number 21 through 27, you will see what Moloch wants. What Moloch wants, and this is what the Lord was trying to get across to his children, not to go down that path. Somebody go to Leviticus 20 and read 1 and 2 for me, please.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel,
yes,
whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death.
What did the Lord promise these people?
Put to death.
They're going
to
be put to death. And does that look like what's happening right now in our land?
Yes.
When the virus is not killing them, the guns are killing them.
Right.
When the guns are not killing them, incurable diseases are killing them. The Lord have already spoken death over that sinner. Don't forget, saints, the scriptures clearly say the wage or the payment for sin is death. Jesus is trying to call us out of that. And we got to be glad. I'm trying to tell you, you got to be glad the Lord called you out of that. You say, I ain't got nobody hanging with. Don't forget they're dying. The Lord called you out of death, didn't he? Walk by yourself and live, right? Walk by yourself and live, right? Walk by yourself and live. All right, so look at all. Did you finish reading that, baby?
That the people of the land shall stone him with stones.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Verse 3, please.
I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people.
Then do you want to be like this?
No.
Keep going.
Because
he has given his seed to what?
Mama.
And now we're looking at a generation that is like that today, saints.
Yeah.
We're looking at a generation where the parents have said that they don't want their children to be raised like they were raised.
Right.
And you think about how were you raised? My mama made me go to church. I'm not going to make mine go to church. My mama and daddy made me talk this way to them. I'm not going to make my children talk to me like that. I want to be their friend. I want to hang out with who they hang out with. I want to go where they go at. And the Lord said, you done gave your seed to Moloch. Everybody understand this? You done gave your children to Moloch. And the Lord says, you will be put to death, right? I'm looking at a generation that don't have life over them, but I see a generation that's got death,
right,
hovering all around them. And do y'all understand? It's not old folk. Y'all understand this? It's not old people. The value of life is not in the youth. When you look at these young people and they say, don't do these things because this virus is deadly. Huh? Have you seen their attitudes?
Yeah, right.
You seen how they think? That's when they let these kids go back to college. It was the worst thing that they could do. Because they have no respect for life.
Right.
Fella was on the news. He literally had a house party. Knowing he had the virus. Police said, your name is on the registry already as they have been tested positive. He said, yeah. He said, y'all told me to stay inside, so that's what I'm doing. He said, but you got all of these people here at your house. We not going nowhere. I'm being sick. Do y'all understand this? But when they leave that house, they're going home. And who are they going home to infect? For one moment.
Yep.
And now you sit up looking at your mom half breathing.
Right. Yep.
And this virus, people are looking at what it's doing to people now. They don't know the long term effects.
No. Right.
They don't know how this stuff is going to affect people's organs long term.
Right.
So these are the things you got to think about, saints. I see Moloch. Do you see? I see it.
I see a
hovering cloud over top of them. And the Lord already told you, I pronounce what? Death. Is that what the verse says there?
They shall surely be put to death.
Yep.
And the people of the land shall stone them with stones.
Yes. Was the Lord tell us, first of all, how to get from up out of there in verse number 7? How do we get from up out of there? It's not a new message. It's the same message as it was before. The Lord says, do what? Sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourselves and be holy, for what? I am the Lord your God. You see that? Now, this is what Paul was trying to get across to the saints that were in Corinth, because they started looking like the people that were following Moloch. Isn't that a sad thing? That's why you got on the back of your bulletin. I really just summarized, gave you lots of bullets to tell you what the scriptures were basically saying from the first book of Corinthians. From the first book of Corinthians. I went a little bit into the second book. The primary issues that Paul was raising in the church of Corinth was in that first book. And when you look at each one of those bullets, you say, well, wow, Elder Scudder, all of these problems. Why did the church go through all of this? Because Paul said in the very beginning, they missed who they were called to be. Notice what verse number 2, he says, you were called to be a saint.
Right.
Saint means to be separate, right? Not like, but to be what? Separate. You have to be okay with being different from the world, saints. Don't try to fit in. Don't try to fit in. If you fit in, you're going to die with them. Everybody understand that? If you fit in, you're going to die with them. All right, now down the bottom of the page before I let you get ready to go, there's a warning. Let's read what separation says from Schofield for me, please.
Separation at the bottom says from Schofield with modification, from whatever separation means, from whatever is not like the mind of.
That's true. That's right. I'm separating myself from whatever is not like the mind
of Jesus Christ. Keep going.
It also is, it is impossible for Jesus to fully bless and use a person who agrees with and participates in wrong.
That's why the Lord tell us to come out from among them and to be separate. Because we want the Lord to fully bless us. We don't want a half blessing, do we? We want the Lord to fully bless us, saints. Now let's look at this warning and then I'm going to let you go.
The warning reads, don't sanctify yourself from the sanctified.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah, right.
Don't sanctify yourself from the sanctified.
Right.
In other words, being a loner.
Right.
The Lord didn't bring you out for you to be a loner.
Right.
He said your inheritance is among those that are what?
Sanctified.
But don't go down this path where you sanctify yourself from those that are what? Sanctified.
Right.
How do you do this? When you do this, you create a breeding ground for what?
Self. Doing so creates a breeding ground
for self-righteousness. In other words, you become justified on your terms, not on the terms of Jesus. Let's look at what this example says.
That I don't bother with brother or sister.
Now remember, who is your inheritance among?
The same.
Those that are what? Sanctified. So it should never be said by another saint that they don't bother with another saint.
Right.
Why? Because that's not Jesus.
Right.
That's not Jesus. Oh, look what the other bullet says there.
I just stay to myself and keep my mind on Jesus.
Now, what does it say? This attitude is not like Jesus. This attitude is not like Jesus. If you look at Luke chapter number 18, 9 through 14, you'll see an example of what I'm talking about. Luke chapter number 18, 9 through 14. Now, remember, this warning is to those that are already sanctified. In other words, don't sanctify yourself from the sanctified. I know a lot of people that do stuff like this. I don't do what they do. What you mean don't do what they do?
Luke 18, 9 through 14,
yes.
And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves.
Who did they trust in? Forget Jesus, right? They trusted in themselves, right?
That they were righteous.
That they were what? Righteous?
And they despised others.
See, sanctified from the sanctified. Keep going.
Two men went up into the temple to pray.
Yeah.
The one a Pharisee and the other a prophet.
Now, y'all remember when I told you all before, when people go to the hospital, they go to the hospital because they are sick.
Right.
Now, I don't go into the hospital with the mind frame that my sickness is any different than anybody else.
Right.
Why? Because everybody in there need help.
Right.
Well, that's the same kind of attitude we have to adopt when we come to church. People are coming to church because we need help.
Right.
You say, well, Scott, I'm already all right, but it ain't no sense of you coming here. You're not going to fit in.
Right.
Why? Because everybody in here is going to be calling Jesus. Because we need Jesus to do what? Help us. Everybody, is that all right?
Right?
If you don't need this help, stay on home.
Right.
Stay on home and wait to the rapture.
Right.
Stay on home and wait because you're rapture ready already. Sad thing is, the rapture going to come and be gone and you still going to be here.
Yeah.
Waiting on the rapture. Right? Huh? With your sanctified self, right? Keep going.
As he stood and prayed, that's with himself.
Hold up. How did he pray?
With himself.
He didn't want to be with everybody else praying.
Right.
He wanted to do this. He said, I'm going to do this thing all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get over here in my old sanctified corner. Huh?
Yeah.
And this is going to be my prayer. How did he pray?
God, I thank thee that I am not as other men.
Now, don't you be like that when you testify. Praise the Lord, saints. First, giving honor to my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and my Savior.
That's right.
I'm so glad that I'm not like y'all. I got a determined mind to see Jesus when he comes. That's what that fellow was saying.
Yeah.
He's in the temple with everybody else, but what did he say? I'm not like who?
Other men are. They're extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.
Good old saint, isn't it?
And the publican standing afar off. When I lift up so much
as his eyes towards the heaven,
was smote upon his breast, saying, God.
Have mercy to
me.
Yes.
Did I tell you this man went down to his house justified?
Who went home? The publican. The one that asked for mercy went home justified. But what happened to that other fella?
Rather than the other. But everyone that exalted himself shall be abased.
Yeah.
And he that humbled himself shall be exalted.
That's what we want to make sure we keep a humble mind, friend. You know humility when you hear it. Humility doesn't say I'm humble. I thank the Lord I got a humble mind. That ain't humility. Humility doesn't say that. Humility, if you got a humble mind, humility says, what is that just going to say? Huh? That's what humility says. Humility keeps the mouth shut. Humility lets the yea be yea and the nay be nay. Right? That's right. In all of it, you just say, that was such a beautiful, you all did such a beautiful thing for Sister Vicky. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, amen. That's it.
Who in the world? Oh, Lord. I don't know what to say about y'all church. Y'all church is one. We thank Jesus. You don't go around and say, that's because that's my pastor. You don't want to say, my pastor, he's the best pastor in the world. Don't you do that to me. Don't you set me up for destruction like that. You better give that credit to Jesus. Don't do that. Oh, that sister, she sang that song. Sister. Thank Jesus. Thank Jesus. Oh, no, she always sings like that. That's what we get over here in my church. We got the best singers. Boasting. Ain't no humility in that, is it? And if you're not careful, you'll be sanctified from the sanctified. That's what that person that does that, that's what they sound like. That's what it looks like. And it's not a pretty look. It's not a pretty look. It's trying to make you think you're better. And that's why, what's the use in you going in the hospital? You already sick.
Yeah,
you know, this Donald Trump fella, he tried to make you think you sick. There ain't no shame in it, you're sick.
Wow.
You can't go in the hospital and you're trying to pull all these, I'm doing fine, I could be home. Well, if you was all right, well, you should have stayed home then.
Right.
Obviously, you're there because you're sick.
Yeah.
Get on the news and tell the truth.
Right.
What they say, tell the truth and shame the devil. I'm sick. And I need the world to pray for me.
Right.
You ain't going to hear that come out that mouth.
Right.
We're going to overcome this thing. You don't know what you're going to do.
Right.
Let the Lord snatch the breath out your body and then what would you say?
Yeah.
Something to think about, ain't it? That's why I say you need to know humility when you hear humility.
Right, right, right.
All right, saints. Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus, saints. As we said there, keep those thoughts in mind. I did not.